tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham dhammam sangham namasami. So this is the fourth Posta day. So we're two-thirds of the way through the rains retreat. And we have another month to go. And it's important to keep that perspective that there's still another month to go. Sometimes this is when we start to make plans. Oh, what should I do after the rains retreat? Where should I go? What should we do? And it's important to remember, to keep in mind, there's still another 30 days to go. And so far I have to say it's been a great rains retreat, great weather, other than the minor problem of not having any water. It's been great, lots of sunny days, cool mornings, cool evenings to practice. And while the conditions have been, pretty good, it's good that we shouldn't be complacent and wasted by just coasting along. But now is the time to take the practice a bit deeper. Now is the time to bring up more energy, bring up more focus, to take the happiness that we have from living in a harmonious community, to take the happiness we have from being very well supported with the four requisites, and to build on from strength to strength. And one of the things I was thinking that might help this is the reflection on our own mortality, the end of things. Reflecting on Buddha's kind of advice before he passed away to the monks. Okay, he goes something like, conditions are all things. The nature is to cease and pass away. So strive on with diligence. Otherwise, you might regret it later on. So that's the Buddha's words of advice to the monks and nuns before he passed away. To strive on with diligence. And to just keep in mind, it is the nature of things to end. It's the nature of things to decline. So we shouldn't take it for granted that the great conditions we have, the great weather, the support, our own health, is going to be here all the time. Also reflect on our own mortality and death. Also keep things in focus. It is the nature of our mind to go on to the next things. I've done the rains retreat. To what Buddha Dhamma? Where should I do the rains retreat the next time, next year? What should I do after the rains when I visit my family? Where should I go? What do I do when I get back to where I am? My job, my family. The mind is going on and on and on. So it's the next thing you want to move on to. But that's a great thing with death. There's no next thing. It's not something you do and get on with something else. Once you die, that's it. In terms of this one existence, obviously the consciousness goes on. But when you die, it's pretty final. That is it. So the reflection, the death, contemplation of death is something that's pretty standard in the forest tradition. Something that is encouraged. just to bring the mind to the present moment. And that's what meditation is, just to stay in the present moment. The mind likes to move on to things all the time. New projects, new things to buy, places to go, people to see. It's good to, it's good to reflect on death, just to bring us back to the present moment. What good is it? You might not live to the end of today, the end of tonight. What good is it planning for all these things that might never eventuate? But also, it's just the demographics of things, or being in a monastery. You get to hear about, old age and sickness a lot. So it's good to reflect always, why are we here? What is the meaning of life? What good is all the experience, when you're in your deathbed, or when you have cancer, what things come up in your mind, what things in life that matters? You'll be, thinking about the degrees that you got, your achievements, the partners that you may have had, the great times, the places you've been, or the good food you eat. What good is all that? So what? You're still going to get old. You're still going to die. Even if you have a great relationship, you're still going to be separate from each other because of this thing called death. So in the end, we come to this world by ourselves, and we pass away, really, by ourselves. So what's the point of, working so hard, developing all this relationship, having things, accumulating things, when all we're going to left with is nothing? Earth to earth, ashes to ashes. So give us a focus. It keeps us in the present moment. It keeps us going back. Yes. Why are we here? Are we going to die? We could die tonight, not tomorrow. What good is all these plans, the other things? Allows us to see, to have a clear priority. Otherwise we might waste our time planning for projects, dreaming, fantasizing, reflection on death. Keeps things real and grounded. He's a recommendation. Vinayatan Thanda says, the first 5 years a month, just keep that in mind. Whatever people say, yes, I might die anyway. Doesn't matter. So we don't get so concerned. We don't get carried away with sensuality. We get carried away with the thinking mind. We stay in the present moment. Keep it real. Keep it simple. Obviously, from the Buddhist cosmology, there is life after life after life, that we do take rebirth. But so much, but something, we can debate about, obviously, because, unless you have very deep meditation, you don't remember that you actually was born before. But also, like Ajahn Chah said earlier, this becoming is something we can see from moment to moment. We can see in our own mind things that we look forward to, that's becoming. Things that we want to, think about tomorrow, or the different projects. All sorts of different ways that we try to become. Projects we want to work on ourselves, want to become a better person, a more peaceful person. It's all sorts of, projections, sorts of based in ignorance, from a sense of self. And while some things are worth striving forward, but mostly it is from a sense of becoming, wanting to be. know, sometimes like the reflection on death has this kind of so what factor. Yes, well, you know, different kind of dreams and fantasy of what the future might bring. Then you can keep it grounded, you can dispel all the delusion by saying, so what? I'm going to die anyway. So what? You've seen everything, I've done everything, you're still going to die. You're the most successful person in the world, have a loving family, you're still going to die. You have an awful family, you don't get along with anybody, you're still going to die. So the thing to bring the focus is, what, you know, and the thing, so certainly death is death of the body. Something that, you know, it's not going to get carried onward. But it's the mind, our own karma, that does move on from lifetime to lifetime. And that's the something, and it's also, it brings into focus the importance of the mind. It's the mind that lives on after this lifetime. So that's the thing we should focus on developing. Not working on the body, not working on things that could pass away. On the external stuff. The projects, the achievements, the monasteries. It's good to develop monasteries, but ultimately, it's going to fade away, we'll die anyway. Good to focus on, yes. You know, it's the mind that we move on from existence to existence. So that's where we should place the importance. That's where we focus on. It's our own karma that we move along with us. So we take care of what we do with our body, speech, and mind. We take care of how we use our mind, of the places that we go. Make sure that what we think about is wholesome. We do what the Buddha advises us to do. To let go of the unwholesome, to cultivate the wholesome. And to cultivate the mind. Because the end, you know, that is the only important thing. So everything else, so what? One of the practice that Ajahn Tan did when he was a young monk was something that we can all try as well. Is that every night when he lie down. He was just imagining, okay, this is it. I'm going to die. I'm never going to wake up. So he's lying down. And every morning when he wakes up, he's going to say, okay, this is my last day on earth. When I lie down to sleep tonight, that will be the end. So they kept his practice very focused. He said, never thought about his family once he ordained. Never thought about the worldly life. Because he said, this only have one day to practice. So he ate just enough. To give him, allow him to practice that one day. He slept just enough to allow him to practice that one day. He didn't get carried away by any, you know, kind of external stuff. But sometimes we get distracted, obviously. Even though we're in a monastery, things are pretty focused. There's not too many things to distract us in terms of, you know, magazines and newspapers, or too much of the looking at the internet. We don't know really what's happening outside. But still, the mind still, you know, kind of veers away from the present moment. We're all habits and tendencies. So sometimes just saying to ourselves, yes, today is the only day that I have to practice. But tonight when I lie down, that'll be it. It brings a sense of urgency to our practice. It means that we don't have a lot of time to waste. And sometimes most of us, you know, could be young in our 20s, 30s, or 40s. Well, at least another 40 years. It's always another rains retreat. It may not be true. I always do this later. Just hang out. But a sense of urgency, you know, can sometimes can give the boost to our practice. Instead of when we sit down, we're focused, we're mindful, awake, aware, and alert. Allow the mind to drift out, to start to, you know, whatever happened early in the day doesn't resonate. Because we know we don't have time to waste. And sometimes being a busy monk helps in that prospect. You know, I was a young monk, sometimes I realized, oh yeah, you know, I've got hours and hours to sit in my kuti. But I don't do, you know, I don't meditate right now, I always meditate tomorrow. But sometimes being a busy senior monk, I know I don't have time. So when I sit, I try to focus as much as I can, to rouse as much mindfulness as I can, because I only know I have that half an hour to meditate, and then there's something else to do. Sometimes that also helped meditation, because we know we don't, you know, have a certain amount of time only to develop, and the time is taken up, so we don't waste a lot of time through lack of, you know, rousing a sense of urgency, a sense of energy into the practice. Because a lot of time can be wasted by, you know, distractions, the projects, the things we do, wasted our energy on conversations. And while it's nice, obviously, to hang out, to spend time with each other, the real work here is what we do. As we sit with our eyes closed, either in the sala or in our kutis, and watch the mind. So that's one thing that, you know, just came up, was that, yeah, to reflect on our own mortality, or reflect on death, not our own death, but the death of people around us as well. And each one of us can infer, you know, you can see people getting older, getting sick. Members of our own people who are close to, obviously passing away. Yeah, I mean, good with imagination, put yourself in their place. As they're lying there. Well, so the other thing was, one was to arouse urgency in the practice. The other thing is to really work with the mind, day in and day out, moment by moment. And just have a strong conviction that you always, whatever you do, you're always going to have the desire to keep training the mind. Desire to always, you know, be awake, aware, and alert. And you always can incline the mind towards wholesome states. Because a lot of times, you know, our cravings come up, kilesas, defilements comes up, and we allow them to be there. Sometimes we indulge in them. It reminds me of a kind of an anecdote I heard. I think Ajahn Chah Sarah was saying one of his Dhamma talk. They did research to the criminals in an institution somewhere in the jail, and they said, you know, even the criminals. Well, sometimes everybody says, no, they're innocent, and they always maintain innocence. Even the criminals knows that at a certain point, they crush any doubt that they have, and they go ahead and commit that act, that they know they're wrong. But there's a certain time they decide, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to rob that bank. I'm going to steal something. And they decide that they're going to go ahead, even though they know it's wrong. And I think, well, we're not criminals here, but I think, you know, for some of us, for a lot of us, sometimes we realize what we're doing is not so wholesome, but we don't care. We're going to go ahead and do it anyway. And that's what I'm asking you. That's where the training starts. It says, no, I'm not going to go ahead and do it because I've been doing this for the last, 18 times. Or it's easier to go down this path of ill will, path of greed or delusion. I'm going to refrain. And I'm keep going, and I'm going to keep on refraining from going down this unwholesome path. I may see my mind as unwholesome, fault-finding, criticizing, blaming, or feeling sorry for myself, or getting into irritation. I'm going to do whatever I can to let those things go, and to focus the mind on inspiration, and forgiveness, acceptance, embracing. Stay in the present moment. I'm not going to allow the mind to veer towards the past with guilt or remorse, or towards the future with wanting and craving. I'm going to stay in the present moment. I'm going to stay with contentment and gratitude. Stay happy right here and right now. And it's something that we have to keep working on. That's why it is a gradual path. Right? It's a training. Something that we have to kind of rouse up and maintain day in and day out. Morning to night. It's something that, obviously, is a great challenge. It's something that's obviously not easy, but something very worthwhile. Because in the end, it is the mind that goes from lifetime to lifetime. It's the mind that we'll have. The body shutting itself down. And it's something that only each and every one of us can do for ourselves. And I certainly cannot do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your partners can't do it for you. And your iPhones can't even get you there either. As wonderful as it is, only you and your mind. And that's the thing, the wonderful thing about training our mind. Yeah. Obviously, some people think, oh, you're just selfish, you know, hiding away in the monastery and watching your breath. What good are you to the society? What have you done for the economy lately? But as we all know who's practicing, we all know that when we practice meditation, we're happier. The mind's brighter. It's something very tangible, something we can share with the world, share with our loved ones. Our husbands, our families, our kids, and we're happy, we can give that out. That radiates naturally. And we're grumpy, we're mad, we're depressed, but we also radiate that outward. And the people around us, we also suffer, or we're not happy, we're not content, we're mad or irritated. So when we're practicing purifying our mind, it's certainly not first for ourselves, it is for the whole world that we're doing this for. Because whatever mind, set of mind we have, that is what gets radiated outwards to the world, to all beings around us. And you can see so clearly the more you meditate, when you're happy, you're a great source of inspiration, a great source to the society we live in. We can do something to help when we have a clearer mind. It's not distracted by our own cravings or delusion. So, each and every one of us, well, we all have relatively good health right now. The body is only going to be doing one thing in the next 10 or 20 years. And when that sickness is upon us, we've taken the time and the effort to train the mind, be no problem. We can be with things as they are. Be with the aches and the pain. Be with the body is shut down. It's not going to be a problem. But, having to to counsel or to be with people who are sick and don't, haven't meditated or haven't trained the mind, can obviously be very confusing. It could be an awful time when we identify with the body and we can't let that go. Not being able to move again, not being able to kind of raise your hand. It's a major shock to most people who think they are the body and they control the body. No, hopefully we have enough Buddhist wisdom to know, yeah, we only borrow the body. You only rent it for a while. And when nature wants, she will take it back when it suits her. So hopefully training the mind, working with things, allowing us to grace, to age gracefully. That would be a source of inspirations for the people around us. That we can accept the pain and be happy. That we can let go of the body and not fight till last breath. And something that's sorely needed in this world of confusions and distractions that focuses on, you can only be happy if you're young and healthy. And that's the only thing, it's not very bode very well for the majority of populations who are not going to be young forever and obviously not going to be healthy all the time. So the training of the mind, having a strong, bright, clear mind, is a wonderful asset. It's something that's very, very important for each and every one of us to cultivate. But it doesn't come by itself. It comes through hard work and training. The moment to moment of focus, clarity, intention, conscious intention of letting go of unwholesome states and inclining towards wholesome states. But it's not complicated, it's something that each and every one of us can do. You don't have to have a PhD in Buddhism to do this. You don't have to read all the suttas either. You don't have to know all the versions in the Agama to cultivate the mind. Any one of us here can do that. So I encourage you to use the contemplation of death to keep the mind in the present moment, to keep it real, to keep it grounded. But also have this steady confidence in what the Buddha said, the Buddha's teaching, and to put that into practice every single day, every single moment. And our practice is going well. It'll be a great source of inspiration for the people to live with, people that feed us, people that come to the monastery, and for our families, friends, and partners. So may you all be focused, rouse urgency to practice in whatever ways you can for the welfare and happiness of all beings. I leave that for your reflection tonight.
Aṃ dhammayaṃ dhammakathāyaṃ sadhukaraṃ dattamāsē.